Hi James, sorry I missed your call. Is now a good time to talk, yeah?
Yeah, we're still good. I've got about an hour to get back, then I'm so.
Perfect. Fab, I'll go through the application with you now then. So, just for data protection purposes, so just to confirm some details with you, so would I be able to confirm your full name, please?
Yes, so my full name is James Judge Thompson Morrison. The Thompson's without a P.
Thompson, fab. And did you have a different name before or during care at all?
No, so it was a wee bit of a funny one because I had a stepdad I didn't know it was my stepdad,
but
I think it took, it's Morrison. But when it sort of come time to get passports and stuff, I think I discovered that it's actually Thompson on my birth certificate. So I had to go through the whole rigmarole of changing my name.
So on your passport now, so does it say Thompson or Morrison?
It's Morrison.
Okay.
I changed it. I had to change it. But every organisation knew me as Morrison.
Okay, everyone knows you as Morrison. Okay. So from birth, you were James Thompson, but then kind of during care... Oh, sorry. But then during care, you were Morrison, yeah?
During... I think for... I don't know when I started being Morrison, but I know that my mum...
Okay.
Obviously married or whatever when I was born,
Okay. I just
took it.
Just kind of took it on, okay, no worries. And then, would I be able to get your date of birth, please?
It's the 28th of April, 1976.
28th of April, yeah?
Yeah.
Perfect. And then your current address?
It's 99 Alderman Road.
That's in Clinton's Cross in Liverpool. And the postcode
there's L24 9LJ. 9LJ?
So I actually live in Liverpool.
You live in Liverpool?
Yeah. this office is based in Liverpool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've had that.
It's in speak, yeah?
I think it's got a speak
postcode. Yeah. Fab. Small world.
Yeah,
there we go. Da-da. Okay, so just to let you know as well, so all calls are recorded for training and quality purposes. And also, just to add a layer of protection, so we're asking now clients for a password. So if anyone calls you regarding the redress scheme, if you ask them for the password and they can't give it to you, then you know then it's not us. So what would you like it to be?
Daniel and James.
Daniel and James, yeah. So, there we go. So and in regards to contacting you, so you've got WhatsApp, but it's usually telephone, email, text. Are those all okay?
Yeah, that's all sound, yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, and the email I have on file for you is jamesmorrison770@gmail.com.
Yeah, I've got two emails, I see the two of them, do you know what I mean?
Which one's best to contact you on?
Probably the most used one is jamespte, and that's Papa Tango Echo, @gmail.com.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll add that one on file, so we'll send you those ones, and then I'll keep the other one as well, just in case, okay? So, I obviously appreciate the discussion experiences connected to this application can be quite difficult and upsetting, so please take your time during the call, and if you need a break at any point, if you want to continue at another time, just let me know, okay? So the purpose of the call today, so I'll explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you, I'll explain your options, explain how INS law operates, discuss funding and fees, and then we'll gather then some more information to assess whether and how we can assist you, okay? So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So it's important that you know all of your options before you decide whether to instruct us. So you can apply directly to the redress scheme by yourself without a solicitor, or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government legal fee scheme. So they are paid directly by the government for assisting you with your application. So under the government scheme, those solicitors can receive up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government for assisting you, regardless of whether you're successful or not. So INS Law doesn't operate under that scheme, so we don't claim any of the government-funded fees. So if you decide to choose us, instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement. So we're not paid by the government for assisting you. And also, would I just be able to check whether you've had any communication or if you've instructed any of the solicitor to act for you in relation to an application to the scheme at all?
No.
No problem. So our agreement, so we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if your application is unsuccessful, you pay nothing. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you pay nothing. So if you are successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on the time spent and then a success fee. However, the total fees, they're capped. So you'll never pay more than that agreed cap. And it's 16% plus the VAT. So I think it's 19.2 of the redress payment. So there's no prior fees and you'll never pay more than that, okay? So it's important as well, I make clear, so we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award the scheme may award you. So the scheme operates on a discretionary basis. So I'll explain that in greater detail during the call as well. So if you decide to instruct us, what we help with, so we go through your eligibility to apply to the scheme, and then we gather and review all the evidence. We prepare and submit the application. So we do all the corresponding with the redress scheme. And then we can advise you on any offer made and assist with any reconsideration or review process within the scheme as well. So if you're unhappy with the outcome or anything like that, okay? So we'll also explain the statutory waiver to you before an offer is made and if one is made. So it's important, so it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters if you accept an award. So you'd never be expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences. So if you decide to proceed with us, you also have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement. So you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And you can also authorise us to begin work immediately while your cancellation rights still remain. So would you be happy for us to do that?
Yeah.
Fab. And just one last thing as well, just so we're able to formally act for you as well. So we'll need proof of your identity for verification purposes. So we'll need photo ID and then a proof of address dated within 3 months of today's date. So I'm assuming you have a driving license.
I have.
So just a photo of your driving license and then a letter then that's been sent to you in the last 3 months. So anything after the 21st of May.
I actually don't look at my mail, but I'll have a wee look through my letterbox.
I'm awful. I do it like once every 2 months and then I have about 30 letters I'm bombarded with. So I'll send you an email as well regarding that, just so you can double check. But basically just a driving license and a letter, and you can send them to us on WhatsApp as well. That's fine.
Yeah.
So just a few more questions and move on to the case settings. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's right.
So have you received any relevant payments before? So any criminal injuries compensation, any advanced payment scheme payments, anything like that?
No.
And do you and do you have any criminal convictions?
See, this is the thing, right? So I learned about this scheme a couple of years back, and I looked at it, and I looked at the criteria, and I seen the bit about the convictions, and I thought, what? But then, I was sort of looking at it a wee bit closer in the sense of, because if you think about the whole idea that, like, trauma and, you know, like...
Well, it's half the reason that a lot of things like this happen.
Exactly. So I thought to myself, I thought, well, do you know what? I suppose they look at things and name basis, you know, as like...
That kind of made me think. Oh, no, definitely. So in regards to the convictions, so they ask for anything, so whether it's rape or murder, or if you've received a sentence of imprisonment of 5 years or more for a violent or sexual offence.
So it wasn't murder, it was a reduced charge, if you know what I mean. So
okay.
I've got a 12-year sentence for that. culpable homicide.
12, yeah.
Yeah.
And where were you sentenced?
So I was sentenced at Glasgow High Court in 1992.
And where did you complete your sentence?
So I kind of finished it in England because I ended up getting locked up in England. I kind of finished the recall in England. But I done the most part of it in Scotland.
Yeah, and where was that?
What prisons was it?
Yeah.
So started off young offenders, Longreggend remand.
Longreggend.
Then we went to Pullman. Then we went to Dumfries. It was a young offenders institution at the time. Then we went from Dumfries to Shotts, and then we went from Shotts to Kilmarnock, and then we went from Kilmarnock to Cirton.
Where was that last one, sorry?
Fire prison. It was like a CCAT prison.
Okay.
Do you want me to spell it?
I might need you to.
It's like Friar Tuck, but it's Friar Ton, with an O-O-N at the end.
Right.
Friar Ton. Right. Actually, I learned the other week that it's closed down now. It was sat in a really nice spot, you know. The grounds were amazing. You know, you sat there and looked over the river.
Yeah.
But they turned it into houses. You know, I think they knocked the prison down and turned it into properties. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can see in 2010 it was, isn't it?
And then the last one was Castle Huntley.
Castle Huntley, okay.
And then we got recalled, though. So we did get recalled, so we ended up back in Kilmarnock, and then through that process again where we ended up in Fryer, and then back to Castle Huntley before we got released.
Okay. That's fab. And then just a couple more questions. So have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses?
No.
And you can also, nominate a beneficiary to your application. So if anything was to happen to you, we'd then get in touch with them and they would kind of take over. So would you like to add one? You can do this at a later date if you change your mind.
Yeah, I'll do that later date if that's all right.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. So then, would I be able to take the names of your parents, if possible?
So, my mum's name... do you want a current name?
The name that would have been on your records, and then the surname now, if possible, yeah.
So, my mum's name back then would have been Elizabeth Morrison.
And then it's changed now, has it? Yeah.
Yeah, she got remarried when my stepdad died.
Okay. And then, so do you know your birth father's name, or is it just a stepfather?
I've never met the guy, you know. I've only got my mum's one for that, like, so.
Yeah. And then with. So, in regards to when you were sent into care, so would it have been your stepfather's names on the forms and things like that?
It would have been, yeah.
Yeah.
William Morrison or Billy Morrison.
William Morrison or Billy, did you say?
His actual name was William, but he was called Billy.
Okay. And then, do you happen to recall the address that you were in whilst you were living with them, so before care? Or the area, or as much as you can remember.
To be honest, so a lot of my memories back then are really hazy, you know. I mean that in the sense of I think I've got a lot of repressed memories, and sometimes things will happen, or like, and it kind of brings things up for me. It's like,
yeah,
like,
it's like triggers it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the kids, because I've got two little boys, and they're 7 and 9. But when I think about what age they are, and I think about the absolute shit that I'd been through at that age. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so innocent, you know. It's them little things, you know, as I go through, and I think it's just being a dad, you know, that it just kind of brings the stuff.
Seeing them at different stages reminds you of you at those stages, and they just kind of all come back in blocks, isn't it?
Look at my eldest son, James, and like at 9, that's when I was proper, you know, full time in care, you know.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and I look at it, thank God, I just cannot see that. No, you know, it's quite
crazy,
happy,
isn't it?
Know?
Yeah. I can imagine. So, do you remember the area at all? So it just, in when we come to like getting your records and things, they'll probably be under that council.
We were in Kilmarnock. I think it's East Ayrshire Council.
Perfect. Thank you. And then, would I be able to take the name of the GP surgery you're currently registered with?
So at the minute, I'm registered with can I come back to you on that one? It's only because I registered with him when I was with my ex. I'm talking years ago. I've never registered with them, but then I don't go to the doctor because I'm just I don't trust doctors, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I just totally don't. I'm kind of my own doctor, if you know what I mean.
So is it near where you live?
It's actually in Waterloo. My actual doctor who I registered with is in Waterloo, Liverpool, and Sheffield.
Mm.
Even though I live, this is why it's all a big thing, but you know, because I've just never ever registered from them.
So is that the last one that you were with?
Yes.
Yeah. So is it Kingsway?
That is Kingsway, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so just if when it comes to accessing your medical records, see, there might be an issue, obviously, if you're not registered with them at the moment, so we might need you to re-register.
I am registered.
Oh, you're still registered. Okay, you just don't go there.
Yeah,
okay,
I am registered.
Yeah, I'm the same in mine. I'm like, nope. Anything possible to avoid it.
When a vaccine, nah, you're all right, keep that.
Yeah, no, thank you.
You're all right, I want to live, kid. See you later. You know, I'm enjoying my life, thank you very much.
Sarah.
Yeah, see you later.
Right, so I think that's all of the information now sorted, so it's just the care settings now, and then some short statements regarding your time in each one. So... How old were you when you were first placed into care?
So it's a wee bit hazy. I can remember when I sort of finally get put into care, you know, when it was.
Yeah.
I think it must have been the kind of the breaking point. My dad actually got sent to prison.
Yeah.
I get the beating of my life, like, and I was in hospital and all that. I was 9. So I remember going into, like, obviously just get took away in the middle of the night, you know, and then get took into a place called Netherford Children's Home. And that was in Cumnock. Netherford.
Okay. Netherford, yeah.
Netherford, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was in a place called Cumnock.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry, I'm not the best speller. There we go, I got it there. Yeah. And then, do you remember then how long you were there for?
So, if my memory serves me, I've done the last bit of primary school there, if you know, and then just before the primary school, just before secondary school is when I was there and I could put somewhere else.
And where was that one then?
So, it was Newfield Assessment Centre.
That's one I recognise.
Newfield, yeah.
The one in Johnston?
That's right, yeah. No far away from the airport.
Yeah.
I can still remember the songs for there.
And then, do you recall then how long you were in that one for?
So, I was in... See, that, because it was an assessment unit, I can't remember how long I was there. Like, I was probably there over my time in care. I think I was different stages.
So it's like a range, so between like... We'll just go with 1987 for now, and then when we get the records, then we should be able to fully get all of... I think the signal's just dropping a bit there. Sorry, can you hear me now?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me, yeah?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay, right, there you go. So then after Newfield, I'm assuming then obviously then they put you somewhere else.
So I went from there to a place called Thornton.
Thornton,
like those chocolates.
Yeah.
that was run by Dr. Bernardo's. I was there for a considerable period of time, really. I was there probably for the, you know, probably I think I was there about 3 or 4 years.
Okay. So that was
probably about 87, 88, 89.
Yeah.
And then after Thornton, that's when it just got a bit bitty after that. I was like 14, 15, I was
what was that? Sorry, this call's gone all fuzzy. I think I can hear you now. So you went from Netherford, Newfield, Thornton, and then hello? Sorry, signal's gone a bit rubbish.
Just give me back if you want.
Oh, I think that might be slightly better now.
Why?
Oh, it's gone again.
So after that, it's Kerlo.
Kerlo.
Kerlo, yeah.
Okay, and Stevenson, yeah? And so that was from about 1990.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and how long were you there for?
So I wasn't there that long. I think I managed about, I think it was a couple of months.
Okay.
I was maybe 2 or 3 months I was there.
Yeah.
As a day pupil. And then from there, I went to, I think I ended up back in Newfield at some point in between that, but then I went to St. John's in Springboig.
Yeah.
And then after Springboig, again we ended up back in Newfield, and then we ended up in Kerlaw Secure Unit.
Okay. So when you were in Kerlaw to begin with, what was that? Was that just?
What was that? Sorry.
So when you were first in Kerlaw, yeah. So the first time you were there, was it the secure unit as well?
No, no. So no? I was a day. So because what had happened in between that then times when thought. Because Thornton closed in the end, and that's why I had to get replaced somewhere else. And I went back with my family, and it just never worked, you know. And then they tried to put me in a normal school, like a normal school rules it was. I was a difficult kid, but what they done was they put us in a school where it was just a little unit for the people who used to be in Thornton, and we had like marine teachers and all that, but it was normal school rules, so I didn't last long. And then after that, I went to that's when they got the replacement at Kerlaw as a day pupil, you know. So I think I used to get a taxi if my memory serves me right.
Yeah.
And I used to take me to Kerlaw Stevenson.
And then. So when you were getting a taxi to there, where were you living?
So I was living with my parents then.
Okay, and then you were back and forth, okay. So, and then you went back to, and then you got placed in the secure unit?
Yeah, so after Springboig, so, like, because when Kerlaw obviously ended, like they kind of upped it a wee bit, you know. I think they thought, obviously because of my behaviour and everything else, they thought maybe I needed residential. So that's why I ended up at St. John's.
And then from there, then to the secure unit. Okay.
I tell you what, honestly, the only time I seen St. John's was when I was running away from it.
Yeah. And then, were you anywhere then after that Kerlaw Secure Unit, or was that where you stayed then for a few years?
So after Kerlaw Secure Unit, I was just about to turn 16, and then the panel system, or the social work system, they washed their hands off me when I was 15. They took away the supervision order when I was 15.
Okay. Okay, so now regarding, so we've got Netherford, Newfield, kind of back and forth for a while, Thornton, St. John's, and the secure unit, and then obviously then the school as well in between.
Yes.
So regarding each of the care settings now, so we just need to take a statement. So this is just like the initial statement that we use for the initial application to centre redress, just to get it accepted, get an application number, things like that. And then further down the line then, we'll be in touch then to do a witness statement with yourself. So that will be in more detail and stuff like that. So this one's just like the overview, any serious instance you can recall and enough to get it accepted. So you mentioned, so you were first placed into care, so 9-ish when you were a member, yeah? And you just got taken away in the middle of the night, was it?
So, pretty much, yeah. Emergency social workers, you know, and then you end up, emergency social workers. Yeah. Clandestine movements.
Okay. And was that because your stepfather was taken to prison?
Yeah. So he got locked up. Well, it's a funny one. That's because I kind of I had this thing where it was all my fault, you know. I was a bad kid, you know, and like I couldn't eat this. And you know what? Like for all that time, nobody ever sat and said to me, you know, none of this is your fault, you know, James. You know, you've just been dealt this hand that's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, no social worker, no anybody's ever come and said to me, you know what, you know, I kind of went through that whole process of the care system and everything else, you know, where I suppose having to develop, I suppose a mask in a way, you know.
Yeah, you just kind of just keep hide it a bit and then, yeah, no, I get that. So you were taken there then. So do you remember anything about your time in Netherford? So anything that you experienced whilst you were there? Physical, verbal, emotional?
There was never any sexual. But in terms of like physical, mental, and all them things, you know, there was tons of that stuff. You know, there was absolutely tons of that. I'd say probably physical too, because when I was in there, the staff used to restrain you, you know, and all things like that. I mean, I look at my kids now and I think, you know what, like, the age of them, restraining
and all that, So you're restrained quite a lot, and what would they do?
So your arms would be twisted up your back. All things like that, you know. You just literally get pinned to the floor and so.
Yeah.
You know, so they thought you'd calm down or the situation was over, you know.
Yeah.
And you add into that as well, like that comes to, you know, that strong comes to the staff and whatnot. But I kind of thought about all the people that was in care with.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of thought about this. I thought about the greatest sense of, do you know what, you're a young innocent kid, you're so impressionable, and for me, you know, the amount of things that happened with other children, fights, you know, without sounding horrible or whatever, but. I had my virginity took it. I was only 9 or 10. Do you know what I mean? And the girl was 15. Things like that, you know, when you think about all them experiences, you know.
So you were only 9 fighting 15-year-olds?
Yeah, I'd say I was either 9 or 10. I can still remember on them to this day.
So did the staff ever intervene, or did they just kind of just watch it?
I think there was a time when people the same age as me.
Yeah.
But what had happened was we all kind of we grouped together, so there was a girl and a boy the same age as me.
Yeah.
And we kind of went up to the room and all that, and we were kind of kissing and doing all the things we do, young and stupid, whatever.
Yeah.
They ended up obviously because I was just so oblivious to it, but they told the staff. And then it was just all was said then was it was just a threat, you know, that they would charge us with underage sex.
Yeah.
So I think there would have been knowledge of that on some level.
And then in terms of the emotional and obviously verbal and stuff, so just constantly just threats, and it was just always straight to punishment rather than asking what's going on and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it kind of goes, each place is sort of different in its sense, you know, and because like if I think to like Kermit, you know, it was a rough place, you know, not only with the staff, but with the other residents as well, you know, it was proper, it was challenging for a young person, you know.
Yeah. So regarding everything else you said, so was that in Netherford?
So in Netherford, it was probably more me being exposed to stuff that I probably shouldn't have been exposed to. And obviously the kind of physical. In terms of I'm trying to think about yeah, I mean, I don't know when I thought, you know. Although you had all these things that you've been exposed to and everything else, you know.
It's just like from a young age you were kind of not made to fail, but like you were led down.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. You know, you're obviously, you're part of the care system and you go to these children's panels and, you know, it's so confusing. I can remember, all I ever really wanted was to be back with the people that abused. Well, I just wanted to be back with my family, you know, where I was getting abused in some other sense, you know.
Yeah.
But then that's where it was a mad thing because I just wanted that so much, you know. I wanted my family. I just wanted to be accepted. That was the young me. I used to run away all the time, you know, for the home.
Yeah.
The whole idea was to get back with my family, you know.
Okay, so that's with the Netherfield one then. And then so when you were in Newfield, did you experience anything in Newfield?
Well, it was one of the worst. I've seen all sorts in there, you know. The amount of times I got a crack in the jaw. I can remember going down to get the laundry with this lad one night because I'd annoyed him. He attacked me with a brick. You know, things like that, you know. The staff were, you know, they were, I suppose, unapproachable, you know, in a lot of ways, you know. And there wasn't much care there. Absolutely none.
So, would you say, so you were attacked with a brick, did you say?
No, it was a brick.
Yeah.
So I went down to get the laundry for this lad, and he launched a brick at me, you know. I mean, and then he chased me for my life.
It was
horrible. He didn't actually hit me with a brick, you know what I mean, but he tried. If he'd have hit me with it, it'd have caused some damage. And, little things, you know, I kind of thought about this as well, where I can remember, people, smoking, and, you know, you'd be with them, they'd be smoking, you'd be like, oh, can I get a draw? And they'd go, let me punch you in the jaw, and I'd be like, go then. You know, just stupid things, you know?
She said, because they saw so many people every day, they just stopped caring. Sorry, it's breaking up a little bit again.
When I was in there, there's another boy from from my area.
Yeah.
I can remember him getting.
What happened to him, sorry? Oh, I think I've lost you. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, if I can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. She said that so there was another boy from your area. What happened to him?
So he got stabbed with a dart. You know, like, he's playing darts, and he went to the board to get darts, and honest to God, he just threw a dart straight in his back.
Was this staff or another boy?
No, it was another boy, you know.
Yeah. It was just absolute chaos by the sounds of it. Okay, so then after Newfield then, so you went to Saunton. So... about that, or was that one just, it just was what it was, just, yeah.
So in terms of that was generally
all right. Okay. And then after that one then, so you were in St. John's.
Yes.
So what was St. John's like?
The fact that I didn't stay there at all, I just, like, honest to God, like, the minute I got there, the staff were like just horrible. And then the pupils were horrible as well. To be honest, I don't even think I stopped the night there, because my first impressions of that whole place were just totally skewed by my very first little bits in there, you know. I did not want to be there, you know. I did not think about that place.
No.
And then whenever I get into trouble, you used to take me back. And, like, the only time I've actually stayed there till the morning is when I lost one of my trainers, so I got chased by the police. So I didn't have any trainers. So I had to wait till the morning, and then they gave us a pair of, I always remember this, they gave us a pair of high-tech silver shadow trainers.
Yeah.
And as soon as I could take trainers on, I was off.
Yeah.
Straight out the door. Gone.
So, what was your first impressions of there? So, what were they just?
It was just horrible, you know. Like, you kind of got the feeling that it was almost like you were in a prison, you know. Lord, reflecting back on it, obviously having experienced prison. It was just like that, you know, and it was kind of, you kind of felt that the staff were like the prison guards, you know, they were quite, you know, they were quite controlling the whole place, you know.
That was
the whole feeling I got from St. John's.
So did you ever experience any forms of like physical or verbal or anything like that?
I honestly did not hang about that place, you know. I did not stay there. Honestly, I think I was in there about 3 or 4 times, and I was probably there. But the longest I stayed there was that, because I didn't have any trainers.
Yeah.
Just
to remember, and I was gone again. Okay, and then after that, you were in Carlos Secure Unit.
So that was I was in Care Law.
So you were in the school. So in regards to the scheme, so I don't think that would be classed as an eligible care setting, just as you were living with your parents at the time. So it would just be about the secure unit.
But see, this is the thing. No, but the thing is that I experienced stuff like what I mean by that is I didn't experience stuff, but what I did is like, so I remember there was a teacher in there. He was the woodwork teacher, and he used to throw mallets about. This should be in my care records, you know, because that was the reason I left it. And
we'll put it all in.
Not only by the staff, but the pupils as well, you know. But that teacher ended up working in the security unit.
Yeah.
So when I was actually in the security unit, he actually started working there. Even though, you know, he probably had these things, you know, that people would maybe said about him, about how much jealous Cannon he was.
So did you say he used to throw mallets at you?
He used to throw them about the class.
Yeah.
He didn't actually. I remember there was a day where he got annoyed with someone, yeah, and then he literally just threw this mallet, and honest to God, like, it flew over all our heads, you know, and hit the back wall, and we were all, like, and obviously as kids, you're like, fuck, you know.
Yeah, whoa, Jesus.
You know, this guy.
That was
actually the reason, because I stopped going. And I stopped going there, and the social worker was like, "Oh, why are you still going? You know, what's happening? I thought it was going all right, and that, no, because I was attending." And I was like, "I said, I told her, I said, you know, this happened." And then, I don't know what the outcome of that was, you know, in the sense, because obviously you're the kid, you don't get told nothing, do you?
No.
I don't know what the outcome was for that, but I remember. That's when that placement ended. St. John's once, the St. John's and Spring Boyd started then.
Yeah. So then, when you were in the secure unit, the Carlos secure unit then, what was that like?
That was horrible. Again, like I said, you know, I never experienced any sexual abuse, but in terms of there was definitely physical. I mean, I remember being threatened. I remember being in my little room, which is like a cell, and being grabbed by the throat. There was physical, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
There was. I don't know how many occasions there was in there where it was just it's horrible, horrible. You know, absolutely horrible place. Care Law Secure. I can remember being threatened by, and obviously, you know, being grabbed by the throat. I think at times that the wrong people working in them places, you know.
Yeah, so why are you working here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But then, like, within that as well, like, some of the pupils in there were like, you know, that was rough, man. That was probably the, you know, like, the mad thing is that a lot of them people that I was in them secure units with, they'd become people that I was in the prison system with.
Yeah.
So it was just like a feeder system, you know.
Okay. So regarding that matter, so I've just written up statements regarding each of your time in each of the case settings. So the next thing now, so to go to the type of applications to pursue. So there's two types. So there's the fixed payment of £10,000, and it's a fixed amount award regardless of the severity of the abuse you suffered. Or then there's the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level you suffered. So based on the previous awards made by the scheme and the severity of abuse and stuff that you've spoken about, I'd like to pursue the individually assessed one for you, is that okay?
Yeah.
So you won't be required to any meetings with the redress scheme or anything in person, so we'll provide the witness statements on your behalf, okay? So the next step now is for me to send over the documents, the contracts for you. So it'll contain a client care letter, a conditional fee agreement, and a letter of authority. So that's everything that I shared with you before discussing the case settings. And then it'll also then contain a part one and a part two, which will be everything then that you shared with myself. So what I'll do is I will send those over now. So they'll arrive to you via text message and email. So I'll send those over now. So obviously I was assuming when you do this when you get home. But if you want, so if you want to give me a call when you get back, and then I can kind of talk you through it and explain how it works, just because it can be a bit fiddly.
Is this the paperwork stuff or?
Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah, so I've just sent those over now, so if you want. So do you know what time roughly you'll be back?
I'm literally just getting to my yard now, so I should be home about 7:30.
Okay, so regarding the contract, so I think I'm leaving the office about 7-ish, but
yeah.
So I'll explain them briefly now, and then if you have any problems, I can call you in the morning if you have any problems, you can just call me. So when you open the link, there'll be a yellow box on the bottom that says fields required. And when you click on that, then it'll take you to each of the pages that need a signature. So it's a tap to sign box. You just click on it, and then you can either draw the signature, or you can type it, and then click apply. And then you have to do that 4 times, I think. And then if you scroll all the way down to the very, very bottom, so you can't scroll anymore, the little tick box in the bottom of the screen, you should be able to tick it then. So it'll say, like, I confirm my signature is legally binding or something like that. So then you tick that, and then the submit application or submit signature button then will come like a darker color. So you should be able to press that after that tick box then. But obviously you're under no pressure obligation to proceed, but obviously if you'd like to, obviously if you sign those, and then hopefully then I'll get your application sent over to redress before the weekend. And then I'll be back in touch then when we get an application number from them. So it'll just be the signatures and then the driving license and the letter, which you can send on WhatsApp, whatever's easiest. But that's everything covered on my end anyway. But do you have any questions for me at all?
The only thing, because, like, there was a kind of part of me that, like, I kind of wanted to sort of, you know, when I got me, I was going to try and get my own sort of records, you know, and get them myself, you know. I inquired to the people. I've probably still got the email there, and they told me, like, oh yeah, you can apply, you can get your care records and stuff, because, like I was saying to you before, like, a lot of my memories, I think, are suppressed, you know. And I think for me to go through that, I think I'd understand more about that. I suppose that early me, that young me, but not only that as well. I think there was a part of me that didn't want to see them, because maybe I didn't like the connotation of the negative side of me, you know?
Yeah.
So I was a bit conflicted by it, but at the same time, you know, it's probably something that I should get my head around at some point, you know?
Yeah, so if you're obviously wanting to go ahead with us and you sign the contract, when we then request all of your records, you can put in a request for us to give them to you. So I can add a note on your file to say that you want all of your records. So it means that you won't have to do anything, and then you can just get them from us.
That.
Yeah, so then also then you have them, if you want to read them you can, if you don't want to you don't have to. Obviously some people like they apply and then they come back and then they can't read them or it's too much, but with this obviously then we have them and if you want them you can have them and if you don't you don't. So I'd be more than happy to put in a request to get the record sent back to you as well.
Sorry, I just need to go. I'll
okay.
Stay all that stuff to you though, right?
That's okay.
My mate's just back in the yard. I'll get back
okay.
to you.
Okay, that's no problem.
Right.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for that.